because we have rock star and social commentator Brian Mannix and occasional drinker. I'm slowly but surely building up your CV of things we can put on your business card.
Well, I'm hoping I can be the all-American funk soul tribute Canadian hip hop
and tears
jazz band like the Blood, Sweat and Tears.
At the moment, we have rock star, social commentator, and what should we say, occasional drinker or a social drinker?
Social drinker,
social
I would think.
Drinker, all right.
I'm
we'll
very
go
social.
And hello, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Had a wonderful Christmas and looking forward to New Year.
Well, we're going to talk about both those things during this hour. And as I say, invite your calls, 9429 1116. Text thoughts on 0433 98 1116. Also going to have a look back on some of the people we lost this year who passed away in 2016. Honestly, I've got 5 pages in front of me. It's scary.
They've been dropping like flies.
Yeah, I had to and check now, that you and I weren't on the list.
Well, that's exactly right. But that's a funny expression, isn't it? Dropping like flies. Like, I find flies pretty hard to kill. and they certainly never just drop out of the sky.
I haven't seen any.
So I'm wondering whether it's about going to the toilet at the MCG on Boxing Day and everything's dropping like flies.
Could be. Speaking of the MCG...
An Australia-Pakistan Test Cricket Update.
Nice little segue there. And segue producer, there's another one to put on your cup. Hello, Smoke.
Well, Brian, I'm a bit worried about him because there is a saying that only the good die young, so you'll live forever.
Yeah.
But Brian, better start looking over his shoulder because he's a good bloke.
Now that's not... I thought you were referring to Brian and live forever. I
think
you mean
to
me.
So there you are. Good solid start here by the Australians. No wicket for 19. We've had 8 overs. Warner, 11. Renshaw, 8. Renshaw just played the best shot of the innings. Lovely drive down through mid-off. And we've seen Pakistan. I reckon the worst referral I've ever seen. Mohammad Amir was bowling to Warner outside the off stump. Missed his bat, I reckon, by... Neil, about 4 inches, and Amir's convinced Misbah to have a look at it, and Warner said, "I missed it by a bloody foot." And he heard him say that to Misbah, and they still went upstairs.
Oh, really?
And he didn't miss it by a foot, he missed it by 6 inches. So they've wasted one in the third or fourth over, so an absolute shocker. I don't know how he got conned.
Never let the bowler make the call and referral.
Correct.
Never. I mean, correct. Even I know that. Because I thought they were all out. I didn't get. I've had balls pitched 4 feet outside the leg stump, and
that's out LBW.
That's absolutely gone.
Plum.
See you later.
That same bloke who averages over 50 on the Sydney cricket ground, you know that he averages over 60 on the MCG as well. So
is
I hope
that right?
As Ali misses out in the second innings, he'll have a better average than me.
Yeah, right.
No wicket for 22. Look forward to hearing from Brian. You fancy, you're a lucky man. 14 to Warner, 8 to Renshaw in Australia. Where's Richie when you need him most? No wicket for 22.
SEN Summer of Cricket for High and Mighty. The big and tall end of year sale on now. And Ashley and Martin. For a free consultation, call 13GROW.
Yes, 0433 98 1116. Your text thoughts, 9429 1116. Probably it's that time of the year where you look back on all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
We did a little review of the year in racing before, and we've done a few others, and we'll do a few in the next couple of days, different sports and stuff. But when you look back at who actually died in the year, and I guess Carrie Fisher passing away this morning sort of...
Just to top it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We've got the Queen's very ill at the moment. That would be just ridiculously stupid. But the amount of high profile music people and showbiz people this year, I don't know whether it's just me, but there seems to have been more than I can remember.
I kind of agree. And I think the George Michael one, that was a real shock.
53.
I know he's younger than me, so that really upsets
me.
And Bowie came as a real big shock too, I think. I didn't even know he was sick, and he always looked so healthy. But he was an avid smoker, so I think that played its part. Gene Wilder. I love Gene Wilder.
Oh, so did I.
He was just so funny. And Yeah, it's been a really bad year for celebrity deaths.
So we're going to sort of wind our way through some of those and some of the recollections of, you know, the movies they were in or the concerts they did, the albums that they did.
The scandals that they were involved in, perhaps.
When you read, I'd forgotten a lot of the stuff with George Michael, to be honest.
Oh, the one with the cop in the toilet was a beauty.
All that stuff. I'd forgotten about half of that stuff. He was hounded, really, at one stage, wasn't he? Absolutely. I mean, everyone gets hounded by the British bloody paparazzi.
Yeah.
But gee whiz, they targeted him for a long time there.
Well, I don't think anybody's seen him much for about the last year or two.
Did you see the last photo they had of him?
No.
In one of the papers, either yesterday or might have even been today.
Did he look all right?
Or I might have seen it online. No! He was huge.
Oh, really?
In terms of really big jowly face. You know, he had a really big
beautiful bone structure.
Looked like someone who'd put on weight pretty quick if he wanted to, if he sort of, you know, wanted to do it. But I saw a photo somewhere in a really big liken it to, with the sort of jowly underneath the neck thing.
Well, that doesn't suggest that it was an illness, does it?
No. Yeah,
I mean, normally people get pretty thin when they get sick.
Yeah, no, well, he just had heart failure, so.
Well, maybe too much weight, but yeah, no good. Just makes you realise that when you wake up in the morning, you just got to go, "Ho ho, I got another day."
You beauty.
Feel yourself pretty lucky.
Did you ever? Were you a Status Quo fan?
Yes, I was. I was a big Status Quo fan.
So was I.
When you're about 13 and you're playing in your first band, "Sweet Caroline" and "Down Down" are real good songs to sort of learn your chops on.
Yep.
And I know myself and Rockin' Ronnie Gonzo, we spent many hours in my garage playing Status Quo songs and trying to learn our craft.
I was going to say, you would have fancied yourself as the Rick Parfitt of, because you got the blondish hair and the same sort of, he was taller.
Yeah, and a denim vest, you got to have one of them. And, you know, probably more important than the guitar playing was the leaning on Francis Rossi. You know, that was part of their thing. I used to love that.
They were the first international band of any description I saw. They played I was living in Brisbane at the time. They played an Australia Day concert at Lang Park, which is now Suncorp Stadium.
Is this the one with Slade?
Yes.
And
Lindisfarne. And Caravan.
Caravan.
Caravan were the first band on. I'd never heard of them. I was 12, I think, or 11 or 12. I think it was 12. And I thought, this band sucks. There was a local band on beforehand, though I can't remember. I don't think it was The Sect.
But they didn't suck as much as Caravan.
Caravan were terrible. Caravan were just awful. Lindisfarne came on. They had one really good song, which I love, called Lady Eleanor.
I like the one, "We can go away, and we can have a wee-wee, we can have a wet on a wall," which seemed good when you were about 12, but it doesn't really translate over the years.
And then Quo came on, and it was like, whoa.
Oh,
I knew Pictures of Matchstick Men was the only song I really knew.
Yeah.
You know, nee, 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 that the guitar. I thought, yeah, okay. And then, wow, they were really good.
I think.
And then Slade came on, and I just... I had a huge teenage boy crush on Noddy Holder.
Me too, yeah.
Noddy Holder was just the best.
Well, fortunately, Noddy made it through 2016.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
I think there's only one member of Slade dead, isn't there? I think.
But did Dave Hill die?
Not the one with the bowl haircut.
No, Jimmy Lee, the bass player.
I think he may have...
Or Don Powell, the drummer.
No, I think Don Powell's... Certainly, I think Don Powell's gone. We'll have to Google it. Someone will tell us. Save me Googling it. Someone tell us off the SMS. I think Don Powell maybe, and I think Jimmy Lee maybe.
Oh.
I think the other two are alive, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Dave Hill's alive. But Slade.
Oh. They were my favourite band.
Oh,
they were
just
great.
Unbelievable.
I keep waiting for somebody to bring them out to Australia so I can go and buy some Slade tickets. Or better still, get the support act to be the support act to Slade. My life would be complete.
Well, everyone's doing a day on the green these days. We've got every band you can think of is coming out doing a day on the green. And mind you, and then cancelling has been happening of late. Neil Young's
really?
Cancelled and all sorts of people are cancelling their gigs.
Are they dead or they're just cancelling for other reasons?
Yes.
Sorry, Neil won't be there. He's passed away.
I know
it'll make it difficult.
I know we said we'd have that theme of talking about people who've passed away, but not everyone we talk about is dead.
Okay, yes. Fair enough.
Need to hold up on
that. We're allowed to talk about some alive people.
Fog
as
on the
well.
Time, that was Lindisfarne, wasn't it?
Yes, that was. That's
M-M
the
Don
We
Custer?
Can Have a Wee Wee one, I think.
That's it. Lady Eleanor's the only one I know. I think I've actually got the single somewhere, believe it or not.
Right.
Lady Eleanor.
And it's a shame that we've lost so many great stars and stuff that we love. And all of the guys from Caravan, as far as we know, they're alive and kicking.
Brian, you can't say that.
I think I just did.
Yes.
They're about as popular as Jimmy Nicol, the Ringo Starr's replacement.
Well, even Ringo replaced Pete Best, didn't he?
Yeah, and then when the Beatles came to Australia in 64, he had to have his tonsils out, so they got this guy called Jimmy Nicol to play drums for the first couple of shows. And then Jimmy, he was all set to be big, and there's this horrible photo of him sitting at Essendon Airport. He's the only one there. No one cares.
Oh.
And he just dropped off the face of the earth after that.
Oh, that's terrible.
Poor old Jimmy.
That's awful.
You know, he took all these formulas to make his hair grow quickly so he'd have long hair like the rest of the Beatles, all to no avail.
We mentioned Status Quo, so we might play some Status Quo going into the brace. Rick Parfitt, who died just a couple of days ago, was 68. 68 and 69 seems to be a bad age group too. That so many of the people that died this year, Alan Rickman and all those sorts of blokes, all around that 68 or 69. I think Bowie was 69, was he?
Yeah.
68?
I think so.
69, there you go. Alan Rickman, 69.
Max Walker, 68.
Glenn Frey from the Eagles. Glenn Frey from the Eagles, 67.
David Bowie, 69.
John English, 66. Gary Shandling, 66.
And John English, 66.
Yes. Rick Parfitt. I call him Ricky when I went to interview him.
Ricky. He would have loved that.
Him and Francis Rossi were standing in the little airlock sort of thing waiting. And I said, coming up, we're going to talk to Francis Rossi and Ricky Parfitt from Status Quo. And that was fine. Went to the break or whatever. And in the break, their little person came in and went, he'd prefer if you called him Richard. Please don't call him Ricky. You don't like Ricky. You're not happy with Ricky. And I looked out and he sort of gave me the glare. I thought, okay, we'll just call him Richard.
Because on Live Aid, when they were doing the first Live Aid, Status Quo were one of the first bands to get signed up. But they got so drunk backstage that I don't think they appear on the record. I think they're in the video clip, but they don't actually get to sing anything because they got there early and just hoeing into the grog. And it's part of the reason why I love them. But they don't actually sing on the record because they were just too full by the time they got things going.
And it was all for charity, of course.
Yes. Well,
all
you know.
All for the greater cause.
Yes, sometimes those charity gigs have a good rider.
Five past two here at 11:16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. David Bowie, who of course passed away this year, unfortunately, back in January.
Yeah.
His birthday was in January too, I think. At the age of 69, on January the 10th.
Very sad.
Yeah, it was. You were a fan. I was a fan.
Yeah, I love Bowie. And I love the fact that he just kept changing and kept evolving. You listen to, say, Space Oddity, that album, and it's sort of one going down one track, and then because that successfully brings out something like Low, which is, Welcome to My Car Crash and stuff like that.
And then Let's Dance.
And that's stuff. Probably my least favourite Bowie
album.
Yeah, no, and
mine too, but it was like so out of left field. How come he's doing like a dance thing, like a disco-y thing?
And it's not really that dancey. The bass line is, but the drums by today's standard are pretty pedestrian, really.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I felt that some of the lyrics on that, especially the ones that Iggy Pop wrote for him, were a little bit pretentious, like, visions of swastikas. Oh, it's like, oh, stop it. Just come.
Where does that come from?
China Girl.
Yeah, but I know the song, yeah.
The visions of swastikas just, come on. Yeah. You're just trying a bit too hard here.
No, I'm with you.
But that's Iggy's fault.
Yep. And Bowie started way back as David Jones and then changed his name to David Bowie. But his first song was a thing called The Laughing Gnome. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
It's like this horrible, horrible little, and I'll probably get toweled up on the SMS, but it's like this terrible little 2:30 pop song with someone with helium, who's had helium going, all that through it. It was just a dreadful little pop song.
Because he used to wear a dress and play an acoustic guitar early days.
I think that was the David Jones days.
Well, he changed it because David Jones was in the Monkees.
For the Monkees.
So he'd become famous. So and he got Bowie from Jim Bowie, the TV show, where he used to throw the Bowie knife.
Oh, yeah, Jim Bowie.
I'll be David Bowie then. How about that?
Brian Maddox is in the studio with me. Have a look back at the people we've lost in 2016, not just from the music world, but a lot of actors and television people. And Ross Higgins was an Australian icon. Ted Bullpit.
Strike me pink. I just polished the tow bar. Yes. The Kingswood.
Yes. Yeah, so we lost him during the year. And he was, for those people, radio people, he was involved in the early days of How Green Was My Cactus, which was just an enormous radio series.
Was he in the Mavis Bramston show too?
I think he might have been. Kevin Goldsby was. And Kevin was part of that whole little group of people that Ross was involved with. I'm not sure if Ross was in Mavis Bramston or not.
It was quite racist, that Kingswood Country show, in hindsight. The poor Italian bloke.
Lex Marinos.
Oh, God, did he cop it?
Could you imagine if you threw that script, I mean, it's like some of those English ones, but if you threw that script on the table now and put it, okay, I've got this idea for this show. It's about this this couple living in the back streets of Sydney. They've got a few cars and he's real Australian and he has a beer and he does all this. And his daughter is married to an Italian boy. Here's the idea for the script.
Ouch.
How fast would they run away from that?
I think they'd run very fast around it. I'm still surprised when I see Love Thy Neighbour occasionally.
Well, I guess the English version of similar.
That is ilk, just...
with all the racist comments in that. But, the anti-ethnic tone of Kingswood Country.
Well, I guess that's where Australia was at in those days. And... Hopefully we've grown a little bit since then, because, calling somebody a dago is not really the right way to go.
It's they would write. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. I know Wogboy sort of addressed some of those things, but they did it from...
They embraced it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it sort of had a different connotation. But gee whiz, that would throw the cat amongst the pigeons, to say the least.
Sure would.
Reg Grundy, another one who he lost this year.
Oh.
The pioneer of all the game shows and all that sort of stuff.
And, the slang word for undies. We've got me Reg Grundy's on.
When you come into rhyming slang, you know that you've made it as an icon in Australia, haven't you? When you're a Barry Crocker and your Reg Grundy's.
And Royce Hart. They're about the only ones who've actually made it. But he invented Wheel of Fortune, didn't he?
Yes, I think he did.
And then that got sold all around the world. Yep. He would have made so much money.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing. All these people that have died, they all seem to have lots of money.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You would have had a big spend up before if you'd known.
So there's a few that sort of, I would imagine, I would imagine the Gene Wilders of the world probably would have been independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been.
Zsa Zsa Gabor had 9 husbands. I'm sure that she was getting plenty of alimony. She would have been right.
She went to 99. Can you believe that?
Well, I was surprised actually when I heard that she died, because
she was still alive.
I thought she'd already died. And I thought, well, she must be 100. And then they said, oh, she's 99. I went, well, I was close.
That's the wonderful thing about Google in some ways, because you have conversations with people and you go, oh, no, I reckon he died 10 years ago. And you go, no, he's alive. He's someone killed the other day. We were talking about the castle, and someone killed off Dennis DeNuto. Tyrell Mora sent me a text message saying, no, he died years ago. I'm going, I don't remember that.
Was that the vibe?
We actually played a little bit of that at the time when we were talking about the house. Over in Essendon or wherever it is, Strathmore or wherever it is.
Well, they're hoping to transport it now to another location.
Prince, were you a Prince fan?
Look, I respect Prince, and
he was only 57.
Yeah, and he wrote a lot of great songs. Sinead O'Connor's career's never been in better shape since.
Nothing compares.
And I like the fact too that he was really prolific, and so he had a big blue with the record company, because he wanted to release 3 or 4 albums a year, and they were saying, "No, hang on, that's not the way we work." And he felt that they were compromising him as an artist, because he had a big output of songs.
Yeah.
And I also, a bit like David Bowie, I like the fact that one album could sound totally different to the next one. Some of the production on some of those were fantastic, and in some of them was like, you really just slapped this one together, didn't you? But they were still good, and I reckon there's probably probably 100 hours worth of unreleased Prince music that will come in, because the guy was just constantly making.
Well, he had the
music
studio in the house, didn't he?
The compound.
The palace, or whatever they called it, where he just used to record all the time, from all reports.
Yeah, and apparently he hardly ever slept.
Yeah, weird. Karen's in Eltham. G'day, Karen.
Hello, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Good. Thanks for your call.
I just was listening to you talking about Slade, and Kevin, a very good friend of yours, whose initials are TW, is a massive Slade fan, and have a very funny photo of him going to the Slade concert in platform shoes and suspenders and a hat with a feather.
Ooh. That's a good look.
That's just a normal night at my place. No, only joking.
That's what you're wearing pretty much here today. You got your platform shoes on, your hat with the feather.
Sorry,
and your braces.
He had what on?
He had the platform shoes.
Well, he always wore platform shoes, because if it's the TW I'm thinking of in my head, Karen, he's not a tall man by, you know.
Six... He's not that short.
Well, he's not 6 foot five, is he?
No, he's not. But so, I just also wanted to say just about George Michael. We went to the George Michael concert at Etihad Stadium a couple of years ago when he came out, and he was someone that we were absolutely, you know, waiting to see live, and it was almost one of the most disappointing concerts I've ever been to.
Oh, really?
Wow.
He was so out of it. He said probably 10 to 15 times throughout the night, "Hello, Sydney," and he had no idea where he was, and his voice was just nowhere near as amazing as we all know it is.
Oh, isn't that terrible?
Yeah, and also the Prince concert we went to in the 80s was the most amazing concert I've ever been to.
Oh, there you go, the highs and lows. Oh, that's such a pity with George Michael, because I actually saw in one of the obituary things that I read online the other day, talking about even one stage everything was going wrong in his life, but he actually got up on stage and sang and blew the joint away, because his voice was still so brilliant and so good. But, oh, that's no good.
I heard that sometimes he, now, you know, you hear my sources, I'll reveal my sources, unlike Caroline Wilson. My sources are a bloke in a pub, so they must be true.
Yeah.
But I heard that he... sometimes sang along with a recording of himself at a concert. But in saying that, he was one of the few blokes, I think, that actually filled in for Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he nailed that song, and that's a pretty hard song to nail. And so kudos to him there.
Karen, thanks for your call. Say good day to Terry.
On you, Karen.
Karen and Eltham there. Platform shoes and a puffy shirt and all that sort of stuff.
And the hat with a big feather in it.
Yes, at a Slade concert. I can't remember what I wore. I was only 12, so I reckon I might have been wearing jeans and a T-shirt when I went.
I saw them at Festival Hall. I didn't see them at the Melbourne Showgrounds, but I wore my platform shoes to see Slade. It was a must.
Did you? Yeah, but you're only 2 foot five.
Yeah, I know. I love platform shoes. It was terrific.
I was going to say.
Except everybody else was wearing them as well. I kind of defeated the purpose.
That's the way you could get away with them, the platform shoes.
Oh, I love the platform shoes.
Yeah, so Prince, another one that we lost during the year. Just sporting figures. I mean, some of the great sporting figures of all time we lost this year. Muhammad Ali, obviously. Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
Close to home, Maxie Walker was a tremendous loss.
For a while there, he was Australia's biggest selling author.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, he outsold Colleen McCulloch and all of these great Australian authors, but How to Hypnotise Chooks was huge.
And hand wrote every one of those books.
Oh, really?
Hand wrote them with the old pen. Off he did.
Jackie Collins works like that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a pen and paper girl.
Oh, Max is
oh, she's
much
dead too
better
now.
Writer. Well, Max is a much better writer than Jackie Collins.
Did Jackie die this year?
No, I don't think so, but someone will Google it for us because something's happening at the MCG.
An Australia-Pakistan Test Cricket Update.
Still with us, Smoke?
Yes, interested in your conversation, boys, and do you want me to get the high heels and the feathered hat on as well?
Oh,
I'd appreciate it.
I don't know whether it'd be appreciated in the press box at the G, though.
No, probably not.
Australia's
just
lost.
They're already dressed up like that.
Yes, lost its first wicket, Matt Renshaw, and I don't know what in the hell got into him, because he's just tried to play a T20 shot in the 14th over of the innings. To hit, you see a shot out of the MCG and into punt road. And he's been bowled for 10. So Australia, with Warner on 35, 1 for 46 in reply to the Pakistan score of 9 for 443 declared. So the breakthrough comes. Renshaw out for 10.
Thank you, Graham. Smokey Dawson, keeping eyes for us on the third day's play in the test at the MCG.
SEN Summer of Cricket for High and Mighty. The big and tall end of year sale on now. And Ashley and Martin. For a free consultation, call 13GROW.
Now, has been Googled. Jackie Collins passed away on September 19, 2015.
Okay. Well, she didn't go this year.
No, not this year. Leonard Cohen. What are your thoughts on Leonard Cohen? Because he's one who polarised a lot of people. I can't say I was a fan of the music as such.
I discovered him late, and as a teenager, I used to hear about Leonard Cohen. It's like, oh, yeah, get out a razor blade and slash your wrists to listen to it.
Yep.
But I saw a movie in the 80s called Pump Up the Volume, which starred Christian Slater as a DJ sort of guy. And it was a song in that called Everybody Knows, which Leonard wrote and sang. And it's a wonderful song. And then I think Concrete Blonde covered it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Hallelujah's great. And, yeah, well, look, Hallelujah's great. You know, look, I think I've grown to love him over the last bit because he actually had something to say, whereas, you know, a lot of songs don't have much to say, but he always had something to say.
Some of my deep and meaningful friends from radio over the years who've been more into the kind of eclectic side of the music world rather than the commercial side of the music world,
yeah,
they just love and adore him. He's like a god to them.
Well, you know, his lyrics compared to Phil Collins' Susu Studio.
What are you saying, Brian?
Well, what the hell was that about? Even Phil Collins doesn't know. Just Susu Studio. Yeah, rock on, mate. You had a really chance to say something here and you came up with Susu Studio. Yeah, beauty.
It's 22 to 3. We might have a little listen to some Prince as we go to the break. Prince, who passed away on the 21st of April this year at the age of 57.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Afternoons with Kevin Hillier. For Volvo, new year, new car. Get into Volvo today.
Here at 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Now, if you've just tuned in and you know we've been speaking about the people who've passed in 2000... No, Ross Wilson's fine.
He is?
Yes. As is Gary Young, the drummer in that
Gary
band.
Young. But the rest of the band not so well.
Unfortunately, during the year we lost Ross Hannaford and then just in the last couple of weeks, Wayne Duncan passed away.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to work with Wayne
Duncan. I was
going to
say, do you work with either of those two?
I didn't work with Ross, but big fan of his vocals as well as his guitar playing. Because
yep.
Those real deep ones. That was a big part of Daddy Cool's sound. And about a year or two ago, I was doing a gig with Bongo Starkey from Skyhooks and Wayne was playing bass. And I just had one of those moments of, well, you know, when I was 13, if somebody told me I'd be singing in a band with the guy from Skyhooks and the bass player from Daddy Cool, I would have just gone, been beside myself. And so it was a really good moment for me. And he was a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Great bass player.
Yes, very good bass player.
Yeah.
Really good bass player. Some of the other ones we lost during the year, we mentioned Glenn Frey from the Eagles. They'll never tour again. They've said that they won't, but we'll see. I think Henley...
Well, hell will freeze over before they tour again.
Or if someone...
Or JD Fortune will get the call up.
Or what was it? The amount of money they got offered to get back together again was apparently unbelievable to put the Eagles back together again.
Wow.
But Henley, I think Henley is coming out here for a day on the green, or he might have been one of the ones who is cancelled. But I
don't know. I heard he was paying tribute to Glenn in the... I don't know if they even got on very well, but I don't know.
Yeah, but he was a good talent. Who else have we got here on this list of people who passed away during Robert? Do you remember the man from Uncle?
Oh yeah, with Ilya Kuryakin.
Yeah,
his Russian sidekick.
Ilya Kuryakin, who's now in which of the NCIS things is he in?
I don't know. I don't watch anything with doctors or cops in it.
Yeah, he's in the biggest of the NCIS franchises. He's in it. He plays the doctor in it, Ducky.
I used to always want to have my hair like his in The Man from Uncle when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, he had a really groovy little sort of side part.
Oh, he didn't have a really groovy little side part. It was a real girly little side part, to be honest.
Well, it appealed to me, and his hair was the same colour as mine.
Yeah, well, I was going to say his hair would have been the same colour.
When I was about 8 or 9, I had a little girly Ilya Kuryakin-style haircut.
Absolutely. Earth, Wind & Fire, one of my favourite bands from that sort of 70s...
Is this the pioneering American jazz, funk, soul, fusion,
not Blood, Sweat and Tears.
Sorry, I get confused.
different bodily functions. This one's Earth, Wind and Fire.
How would you describe them?
Oh, they're a funk, a disco funk.
Are they a pioneering American disco funk,
they could
rock,
be one of
rap
those,
and country band?
They came after Blood, Sweat and Tears. But Maurice White, who was... I remember September was great. They had some great songs.
What did they sing?
September was one of their biggies. No, you don't remember Earth, Wind & Fire. How old are you?
I know the name, but I can't think of anything that they sang. I probably know the song, but probably never made the connection.
I'll find something and play it for you. You'd remember Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship.
I remember the name of them. I'm not sure.
We Built This City. Steve Salisbury and I were talking about
the
other day.
Did one of them die?
Yes. No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. You can't do that stuff.
All right, okay.
You can't do that stuff. No. So George Martin passed away this
year. Oh, that's a big loss. I was a big fan of Sir George Martin. He made the Beatles records great.
Well, if you want to talk about that much-talked-about thing, the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
He was the fifth Beatle.
Well, and he also taught them all about, you know, how to orchestrate an orchestra. And, you know, Paul had come into Penny Lane and say, you know, I heard this really high trumpet on the TV. And he said, oh, it's a Bach trumpet. He said, well, can we use it? So in Penny Lane, there's a Bach trumpet. And actually, the bass player in the X-Men actually reckons that George Martin might have influenced the way Paul McCartney played bass, because a lot of the way he plays bass, my bass player reckons that it's like an orchestral bass part rather than a guitar bass part.
Oh, is it?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, someone in a pub told me, so it must be true.
I was going to say, that's very technical for you, Brian.
Oh,
where'd that come from?
Oh, I don't know. It just slips out every now and then.
How do you not know Earth, Wind & Fire comes off the SMS? I can't believe you don't know Earth, Wind & Fire.
I'm a bit more of
Surely
a fan.
Surely we can find an Earth, Wind & Fire song in their boys somewhere, maybe September.
I'm more of a fan of Sandboy Salt and Vinegar, but anyway, I'm sure Earth, Wind & Fire are good too.
What about the Brady Bunch? Florence Henderson passed away this year at the age of 82.
Now, they had some good songs. Think I take a walk in a park now, the summer sun's calling my name, I hear you now. It's a ripper.
Are you, what's that from?
When they go in a singing competition in one of the things, they sing this
song.
Oh,
you didn't watch the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. I love the Brady Bunch. I thought Jan was really cool. Jan was a bit of all right.
Was that Eve Plum?
Eve Plum.
There you go.
Yeah.
Really? You watched the Brady Bunch?
Oh, look, I'd Eve Plum any time.
You watched the Brady
Bunch? Yeah, it was terrific as a kid. It was like, wow, this family, they all like each other, and they have sack races in the backyard.
Hang on, the family like each other, but they were a blended family. It wasn't like wasn't your mum, your dad and your meat and potatoes, you know,
no.
family. What was appealing about that? It's too cheesy for me.
No, they were all right.
But I'm a little bit older than you, so I probably had gone through.
But off the screen, what's her name? Greg and Marsha, they were getting it on in Tiger's kennel on the set. They were having a bit of a...
Is that what got you through watching the Brady Bunch, just thinking about those
things? Greg and Marsha getting it on in Tiger's kennel.
Marsha came out here for I'm a Celebrity, wasn't it?
Yeah, she did quite well eventually.
Yeah.
She started off a bit slow,
but
she came good. She did all right. And Alice, I think, died last year, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and Mr. Brady died many years ago.
A few years ago. He died. Yes.
But
Florence this year at the age of 82.
And she was a bit of a spunk back when you watched the Brady Bunch.
She was a very talented lady. She singing, dancing, all tick all the boxes.
Yeah, she was a musical Broadway sort of person before she,
Yep. Yep. I heard someone talk about her singing at an Australian person's, you know, the girl who's on Dancing with the Stars in America, who's the Australian girl?
Kim Johnson.
Yeah.
Very good friends with Kim.
You are?
Yeah, I did Celebrity
Apprentice. Oh, you
with
did
her.
Too?
Yeah.
Well, apparently at her wedding to whoever she married, who was her dance partner in the thing,
She had Jerry Springer as one of them, so I hope he wasn't emceeing the day.
I think she married Jerry Springer.
No, no. But,
but when she got married, Florence Henderson was at the wedding and sang at the wedding, did all that stuff. She was a guest.
Wow. Well, I hope it wasn't in Hawaii because they had all sorts of bad luck when they went to Hawaii. Geez. They found
you
that voodoo tiki.
See, my wife watched the Brady Bunch and tells me all this stuff. Oh, you can't possibly. Going to take a break. To the break. Have a listen to this, Brian Mannix.
Okay.
That's Earth, Wind and Fire.
If I was drunk, I'd really like dancing to that. It's the sort of thing Dale Ryder would love.
Is that called dancing, what you were doing then?
I was having a little groove to it. No, it's a good song.
Get off. Brian Mannix in the studio with me, rock star, social commentator, social drinker, and Earth, Wind & Fire fan. Well, he is now.
Pioneering American rock, funk, soul, jazz, country and western rapper artist.
That's them. Now, Lemmy from Motorhead. Were you into Lemmy and Motorhead? I wasn't.
Look, I can't say I was a big rap. We actually stayed in a hotel with them in Queensland years and years ago.
Did you really?
And and they'd bought some big stage out that they were going to set up. And it was too big for most of the venues they were playing, they had to blow out most of the gigs. But I saw a documentary on Lemmy, and he's a huge influence to Metallica and all these other great bands. And so while I never really, because they did a Live Aid record, it was a heavy metal for Live Aid or something.
Right.
And they had some song and it was live, and just sort of went, on the road! I'm on the road! On the road! I thought, okay, you're on the road and you've smoked about 45 cigarettes while you're singing it. But while I perhaps don't appreciate and understand all of his great works, he's a huge influence to heavy metal bands and rock and roll bands all over the place because he was on the road!
And obviously to whoever sent that in off the SMS. Do you think that any of the Brady Bunch would have tried the beer... the beer butt chicken over Christmas. What did you do for Christmas? Did you get the turkey and put the can of beer in its...
It was attempted.
You did try.
It was attempted, but the turkey was too big with the can of Guinness up its lemonade and sauce. I couldn't get the lid on, so we had to abort all chances of steaming it with Guinness from the inside and roasting it from the outside. We just had to play it simple.
Bob Hart from the Australian Barbecue Academy will be consoling himself now knowing that you tried the turkey with the beer butt turkey and it didn't work.
I went in the Weber rather than the bin.
Oh, sorry. That's what should be on your business card too.
Barbecue pitmaster.
Triple barbecue owner. As well, put that on your business card as well.
Well, that'd be good.
How was it? Chrissy was good to with the family and all
that? It was terrific. We have a great thing now where we don't even try to buy each other nice presents. We just buy, this is crap. Yeah, I'm chucking that in. And I gave my nephew got a mechanical cat that sings and dances to Shania Twain. And
How come I didn't get one of those?
What's really sad is that I spent about 2.5 weeks making a video from a Christmas song. It's got about 840 hits. Yeah. I put the stupid dancing cat up, my dog barking at it. Within 24 hours, it had over 1,000. It was there's no justice.
Is that what that was? I didn't click on it. Is that what that was? Your dog barking at the
dog barking at the mechanical cat.
Oh,
yeah.
Crikey.
Well, you're one of the few people that didn't.
No, I saw it and I didn't click. I don't click on a lot of stuff, video stuff on Facebook for some reason.
Nah, if you've got a dog in your video, you'll get 1,000 hits, no worries.
Ridiculous. Thank you, Brian, for being in. We appreciate it. As always, look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you for having me, and lovely to be here, and Happy New Year to everybody.
And what are you doing for New Year? Big one?
I'm playing at Doncaster with Dale from Boom Crash Opera, David from Real Life, Scotty from Kids in the Kitchen, and Sean from The Models. So
very good.
Come on down. And Molly's coming down. Molly's DJing. So
really?
It's going to be great.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be a good night. New Year's Eve at the Doncaster.
At the Doncaster... One of the pub in Doncaster. I guess it's that one,
That'll be the one. I think there's only one really big one.
It's on the Ab 80s website.
A couple of my mates are playing this game over the summer. They guess the name of the group or artist of the song we play after each break. So, you know, as they come out, they'll who's the first to pick? Fine Young Cannibals.
Yes.
Right, so they go with that. So that's a three-pointer, Fine Young Cannibals.
And the one that doesn't get it, then the others have to skull.
I've some silly thing that's going on. I've got no. I don't want to buy into it. I don't choose the play in music very often. Only every now and again. No, A-Rod is choosing it this week.
Doing a very good job.
Yes, well, he picked Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin, which we played a little early. He also picked that Craig David thing that we played before too, which if anybody got that, you got to take points off.
Okay.
Absolutely got to take points off for that one. 26 past two, Brian Mannix is in the studio with me. Happy to take your calls, 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. We'll keep you updated on the cricket as the Australians pile on the runs at the SCG. A declaration must be imminent. You reckon 600?
Warney was saying 600, he thought.
Oh, Warney. Well, if Warney said 600, then it must be 600.
Well, you know, and they'll make him bat twice and...
Well, we've got to bowl them out first, and on that track at the moment, I guess it depends which Pakistan batting lineup turns up.
Well, you know, I heard one of the commentators earlier say that if the spin bowlers bowl well, they could take half the wickets. It was really insightful stuff. It was like it's like when you're watching the cricket, and somebody comes up with his blinder for you, goes, well, Pakistan really need a wicket now. Oh no, they didn't even think of that. They were just bowling the ball. Yeah, should get a wicket. That'll be good.
Yes. Yeah. I know. It's a long day and it's a lot to fill. You've got, 6 hours, 100 overs worth of content to fill. But, yeah, they do go to the bleeding obvious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very, very often. Now, I want to talk to you about TV.
Okay.
I've been seeing promos for a television series that's about to start. I'm not sure which channel. It could be 10 because I watch a fair bit of the Big Bash League. Or it could be 9 because I obviously watch a fair bit of the Test cricket. A television version of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Now, sorry, that is one... It's 9, okay. That is one of the movies that I loved. I don't necessarily...
It was good at its time. Yeah, I think it's a bit dated now.
Yeah, I agree. That I watched and I thought Mel was terrific in it. Danny Glover was terrific in it. The whole interchange with Danny Glover's family and all that sort of stuff. I really enjoyed the Lethal Weapon movies. Yeah. Renee Russo was in one,
I think. She was in all of them.
Was she in all of them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she was there.
So I really enjoyed and thought it was terrific. And then I see this promo... last night when I'm watching telly. So the promo comes on and I didn't really recognise who it was. It looked like a Wayans, one of the Wayans.
Yeah, it is one of the Wayans.
Damon
or the other ones.
Yeah. So he's playing obviously the Danny Glover role. I don't know who's playing.
But he's just too tired for this. He's not about to retire like Danny Glover, I believe.
I didn't hear the sound on it, but it just looked like a really bad version of the what I think is still a really good film. Why would you bother doing... Why remake that?
A total lack of imagination on TV executives' parts. Well, this has got a following already. If we do that, it'll work.
But they tried it with... They did remakes of... or movie versions of things like Bilko and some of those
Yeah, they were
shows.
Dreadful. Macau's Navy.
Yeah, all those...
The Brady Bunch was good.
Was that good?
It was funny, They kind of took the mickey out of the Brady Bunch. That was all right.
All right.
And the Exorcist has actually got a TV series at the moment.
Which is on now, yes.
Which looks pretty good, actually. But the Lethal Weapon, no, you can jam that.
And Westworld, is that the other one that's on pay TV?
Yeah, that's
the
old Yul Brynner movie. But
Waterworld, sorry.
Or no, it's Westworld. Waterworld, you wouldn't be bothered remaking
Waterworld
that.
Waterworld was Kevin Costner. Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Mad Max on the ocean. Yeah, good idea, Kev. That was a ripper. Let's do a TV series of that. Oh, what a
so
stinker.
So what are they... Because they just did Hawaii 5-0 recently with James Caan's son. I saw 10 minutes of that the other night and went, you've got to be kidding me.
Right.
That's, I think, in about its second or third series. That's actually... come back again. MacGyver's the other one that they've redone at recent times.
Well, I guess Starsky and Hutch will be coming soon.
Well, they did a movie version of that.
Yeah, that was also took the mickey out of it. But yeah, there's a real lack of imagination, and quite frankly, I'm sick to death of any show that has a cop or a doctor in it, especially the doctors.
What, you mean not a real thing, like an RBT or something like that?
Oh, you know, something with doctors in it. Like why would you
like
want to
Chicago
go?
Chicago Med or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Why would you want to watch television of somebody in a hospital ward? Oh. You know, it's so depressing going to a hospital ward, and unfortunately, we're all going to have to go there at some point to visit someone or be there ourselves, and it's just depressing. And as for the cops, they always solve it in an hour. It's just rubbish. No. No cops, no doctors.
I like cop shows.
No, I don't
I'm watching this thing now on pay TV that I've thought of put on IQ called Chicago PD.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it.
I bet the girl cop in it is really good looking.
Right, eh?
They all are. There's nobody that works in as a detective. They're all these hot chicks, you know, really. There's a whole lot of people joining the police force just to meet the hot chicks that are detectives.
But all the blokes are fairly good-looking blokes. They're not.
Yeah, no... where's the fatties? You know, I want a couple of fatties in there. Been eating donuts and coffees all day. You know, like, what happened to, was it Cannon?
Yes.
You know, and Ironside, he couldn't even get out of the wheelchair. He was that fat.
No, he wasn't, because he was fat.
What?
And we had Bluey.
Remember Bluey.
Lucky Grills. Bluey,
yeah. And what did the working dog do to
him? Yeah, they did, that's right.
It was something, Mud Guts or something.
No, what was it called? The DGen did a...
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what it was. It'll come to me. Someone text message what the Fatso... No, it wasn't Fatso. No, it was something else.
Something like Fat Guts or something.
It was something like that. Barjas!
Barjas!
That's what
Perfect.
It was. That's what they called it.
Well, so we need a new series of Barjas.
Brian Taylor's driving in a car, and we're going, someone call my name?
Casting.
That this is radio and we don't do any visual effects, because not only was I dancing, but Mannix was dancing. Entire production people involved in the station and Jude on reception, they're all dancing in there.
Everybody's warming up for the gay Mardi Gras.
Oh, a bit of the old can't take my eyes off you, Frankie Valli, if you're playing at home.
He did a concert up in Brisbane when I was doing Dancing with the Stars, and my partner went to see him.
What, recently? Last 10 years.
Yeah, it was 2012. And he played at Jupiter's, is it, in Queensland?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she got to go backstage to this penthouse and meet him with all of these high rollers.
You're talking about your dancing partner.
Yeah, my dancing partner, Melanie.
Yeah.
And she said that it looked like he just mimed. And a whole lot of people were complaining about the show because he'd had so much Botox he couldn't move his face. So it looked like, and I don't know if he was singing or miming, but I've never heard anybody complain about it. Nah, it was no good. He'd had too much Botox. His face was just like cardboard.
It's not something you hear very often, is it? I did like the Four Seasons. In fact, I was driving in this morning punching around different things and I heard Who Loves You, which was their kind of disco-y song they did, which I thought was a good little song. Have you seen Jersey Boys?
Yes, I have.
Good show.
Yeah, it is good. I'm not a big fan of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Really?
The falsetto voice doing the lead just doesn't work for me.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather hear Elvis singing the lead.
But,
you know.
I liked it.
It's a great story and it's a great show.
Yeah, I liked it.
But if you've seen Buddy and a lot of those other ones, there's a bit of a formula to them.
Bring back Kojak. Would you remake Kojak?
Yeah, I'd remake Kojak. I'd get that guy from Breaking Bad, the bald guy that played he can play Kojak. That'd be all right. That'd be okay.
He'd actually be good with it. We just actually looked up, someone said McHale's Navy. How about make a repeat of McHale's Navy would be great. So thanks, Ken and Glenn Iris sent that through on 0433 98 11 16. We looked up, Brian and I both said, we think they did a movie of it. And they did. And then we looked up the cast.
Yeah, what a cast.
Lieutenant Commander Quentin McHale, which was the Ernest Borgnine role, which was...
And keep in mind, Ernest Borgnine had won an Academy Award before he did this.
Did he win for Summer of the 17th Dollar?
He won for Marty, and he was probably nominated for the... Oh, that was later, Poseidon Adventure, but he won for Marty.
Yep.
So he was an Academy Award winner playing... So who played it in the movie?
Tom Arnold.
Not an Academy Award winner. In fact, this guy was so desperate to make a career that he even married Roseanne Barr for a while just to get some regular work.
And I didn't mind the Roseanne show until he came on it. He actually finished up being... John Goodman, I love, who played Roseanne's husband in it.
Yeah.
Dan. I loved him. Like the sister in it was terrific too. Laurie, whatever her name is. I can't think of a name off the top of my head. But then Tom Arnold ingratiated his way into the cast and killed the show. Roseanne had gone off the rails by then anyway. So.
Yeah, look, it comes on at about 10:30 on the TV and I'm waiting for Seinfeld to come on and, the last 5 minutes, it's pretty hard going. It's just like...
I didn't mind Roseanne.
It's a horrible-looking house full of horrible-looking people that just whinge and complain. It should be called Bogans R Us.
Yeah, well,
and I mean that in a positive, yeah, constructive way.
What other sitcom would you know where they opened a restaurant? Normally in sitcoms, when they open a restaurant, it's some ritzy, you know, lovely restaurant, 5-star type deal. Roseanne and her sister opened a restaurant and served what they called loose meat, which is mince.
Like, nice.
It was a mince restaurant. Everything that they sold was mince.
Wow.
So it sort of shows you where their socio-economic thing was.
Yes, it wasn't the steak of TV, it was the hamburger.
Yeah, it was.
And Roseanne made meatloaf look like a rissole.
Well, she was a very large person.
Yeah, Tom Arnold didn't care as long as he got an acting job.
What about a remake of Houseboat Horror? That's that dreadful. You were in that, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. I
thought you were.
No, I was supposed to be, but I read the script, unlike some of the other actors.
A good radio mate, Gavin Wood, was in it.
Yes.
Ollie Martin, who was on television there in the late part of the 80s on a TV
show. Yeah, he co-produced it.
That's right. Who else was in it?
Animal from Hey Hey, It's Saturday. That's right. Now I'm starting to struggle.
No, we won't be doing a remake of Houseboat of Horror because no one, I don't think anyone apart from the person who just texts that through has ever seen it.
It's a shocker, and I'm sorry to have been involved in it, but anyway.
One of the worst films of all time. Want to see Gomapol USMC done. Surprise, surprise.
Well, yes, I've got it. That was a good show. I enjoyed Gomapol. I don't know how it would adapt today. But,
no, I don't think it'd travel well.
Maybe she'd just come up with a new idea.
Well, no.
How about
really?
That for a plan? Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they can't, apparently, because that's why we've got Lethal Weapon coming. And we've got another version of 24, I see, on the telly the other day. 24, The Legacy or something. That's coming up. But don't see any new things unless they involve vampires.
Well, you know, yeah, they like a vampire, but... yeah, there's a lot of rubbish on television.
Have you got shows that you know you shouldn't watch, but if it happens to be on, you cannot not watch it?
I was like that a little bit with Geordie Shore for a little while. Have you seen Geordie Shore?
Is that one of those MTV shows?
Yeah, all of these Geordie people go, well, the only thing, so obviously we're a little bit upset, so the only thing we can do is go out and get mortals. So they go out and get drunk, and then they're all sleeping with each other, and they're horrible-looking people that behave even worse.
Is it a reality show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they...
So they're real people?
They have sex on television.
Oh, okay.
It's not good.
Fair enough.
But... 3 or 4 episodes, you go, look, I've got to watch more of this. I just can't believe how bad it is. But after 4 episodes, you go, no, that's it. I'm done.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't not watch RBT if it comes on. And I don't know why.
I try to avoid it, but if it's on, I find that it's on for longer than I would have thought
exactly.
I would have left it on for.
I don't change the channel. No matter what else is on, I know what else is on. I cannot change the channel. I don't know why. I don't know. I know it's set up like, you know, do they go that terrible music thing they play when you're blowing into the bag and then it goes, plays that music and you're going, oh, what do you go? Point, 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 point.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the ad or cut to the next thing or something. Sucks me in every time. I can't not watch it.
RBT. Well, I'd rather just live it rather than... No. I'm very well behaved in that respect.
No, exactly. We all... Off the text messages, 0433981116, shows that you know you shouldn't keep on the telly and you should change, but you just can't. Mine's RBT. Off the SMS Highway Patrol. Well, it's similar, isn't
similar
it?
Similar sort of deal, yep.
Porn stars, as in PAWN stars.
If it was the other ones, it'd be one of those shows for me, but it's just it's old antiques and stuff. Who cares?
Yeah, I can't get into those sorts of shows. Hardcore porn is the other one. I love watching Ice Road Truckers. Now, that's one of yours, isn't it?
Ice Road, celebrity ice road trucking, deep fishing, celebrity housewives dancing with the whatever.
You don't watch the Real Housewives shows.
I do watch the Real Housewives. In fact, I've got my photo taken with Gina Liano, and I've got my photo with Janet and Gamble, and Pettiflu is my friend on Facebook. I love the Real Housewives of Melbourne. They're terrific. They look amazing. They probably spend 6 or 7 hours getting themselves all dolled up. They look fantastic. They go to all the best events. They're at the Birdcage, at the races, they're at the best restaurants, and they go there and they just have a big fight. And they never enjoy these great ambience and things that they've got. They just have a bitch fight instead. And I thought, gee, you're really not getting the most out of these wonderful places you're going to.
They're in like about their fourth series, I think, aren't they? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. It gets shown in America too. So
our show.
Yeah. When I was talking to Gina, she was telling me.
Oh, here we go.
She was telling me that it just got picked up in America, and it was, I think it was getting played, you know, mid-afternoon on a Sunday, but it was starting to pick up an audience.
Because America's got, I've noticed on pay TV, because I have pay, obviously. Now, where were we? The Real House... Yeah,
The Real Housewives.
But America has, like, there's... I know there's The Real Housewives of Miami.
Atlanta. New York. Now there's The Real Housewives of Essex. There's Real Housewives everywhere.
Essex in England?
Yeah. And they would have liked that one because it's Essex. E-S-S-X. So they've got the word sex in the title as well, which makes it extra great.
Right. So you actually watch those Real Housewives shows?
Oh, look, it's just a train crash. You can't turn away from it. It's like, you know, they're well-dressed and they're glittering, but it's a train wreck.
Do you watch food shows? You watch any of those?
Yeah, I like the food shows. I like My Kitchen Rules. I like Poe's show. Poe's good. I really like cooking, so... I've gone off MasterChef because it's so high tech, the cooking now, that you don't really get any tips that you can.
Yeah, but I like the Three Blokes.
Oh, yeah, I like George Calambaris and Matt Preston. Yeah. I've met Matt Preston too. Hey?
I've interviewed Matt in here. He was very...
Actually, I think I was in here one day when he was here.
Yeah, I think you might have been. He's a very charming man.
He's a very good man, yeah.
He's a mad footy supporter, mad cricket supporter. Loves the, I think he's a Stars man. Matt Preston a Stars man or a Renegades? No, he's a Stars man. He's a mad Melbourne Victory too, I think.
Right.
And George, I think, is George on the board of the Melbourne City team, or he's got something to do with one of them.
Yeah.
So I quite like Gary. I quite like the three of them.
I think they're great. I just think the standard of cooking is so high now that it's sort of like, oh, well, I can't do that.
Well, it's gone past you, me, and the average person, hasn't it? That high-tech... All those, what's his name, who does the big, he had a show recently, he does the big dessert things.
Zumbo,
or whatever his name is.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Yeah, that's...
It's way too
no
hard.
No dessert should be that. I mean, what happened to a scoop of ice cream and chucking a bit of fruit on it, or some sparkles or something?
You know, some nuts, some chocolate, jam a banana into it.
Exactly. The Real Housewives of Sydney is coming up soon.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Is that right?
Real Housewives of Sydney. You can't have enough Real Housewives. Mind you, all of the Real Housewives I know... You know, I get down to Westfield, they're not done up in the, you know, 8-inch shoes and the glittery cocktail dresses. You know, the Real Housewives I know wear tracksuit pants and Ugg boots, and they're dressed for comfort.
Yeah, you're not likely to see a show about that for some reason.
You don't want to be nicking into the cheap smokes shop or Coles, you know, in your Dimenti outfit. You want to be in your tracky tacks.
Yeah, you talk about Botox.
Yeah,
how much Botox and stuff is going on with the Real Housewives of Melbourne? And have you met him flesh in the flesh?
Yeah, I have. Okay, well, I haven't seen him naked, but
no, I
wouldn't
didn't
mind.
Ask that. Seriously, did I ask that?
But
no.
You said flesh.
No, well,
they went off. Look, they look amazing. But I think they probably take a long time to get ready.
We don't need the bells and whistles and stuff. We'll